Didn't mean to interrupt. All right, we're good to go. We're here with information technology, my favorite topic, and an impactful topic for everything we do. So let's go through it. Barb, welcome. Thanks for being here. Thanks for putting together the budget. Let's start with revenues. There's not a whole lot there to talk about, Barb.
No, it's always hard to show revenue for IT, although I am working on a project this year that I hope will start seeing some revenue in 3 years, and we can talk about that a little bit more later.
Okay. Next, we'll move. Any questions on revenue?
Mm-mm. Okay.
We did add a little bit with the DR solution for the city.
Yeah.
They have a piece of equipment they're putting in our server room, and it isn't costing us a lot, but I thought, you know, we need to pay for electricity and things. So.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Charging.
Good for everybody to pull their weight. Thank you very much. So now moving on to expenses. So it looks like we need to deal with the first couple, and then when we get down to staff and staffing levels, we need to have a different, or staff and the way we pay for benefits, we need to have a different conversation. But let's start right there at equipment, rent, and maintenance.
Okay. Under MHDD.
MHDD.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm on MHDD.
Right. Right. Yeah, and understand that the way we fund some of the things is the reason this looks a little different here, because I want to make sure that they're at the right places.
Just keep us on task. I'm just trying to do it
right.
In a linear way. So
right.
Let's talk first about the MHDD equipment rent and maintenance down from 2,700 to 900, almost 1,000.
Basically, what this is just the Microsoft Office licenses and their Exchange CALs. It's down because we got rid of VMware for the workstations. They had the licenses. We tried it, didn't like it. We removed it. The licenses expired this year, so we're not renewing them.
Okay.
It just didn't seem to be a solution that worked for them.
What happens to all that equipment?
It was the software.
That was software. What happens to all the equipment over in CLP?
This is you're talking direct administration, mental health, Deb's department,
okay.
Right here.
Okay. Yeah, no,
so, and then
it
down,
just triggered for
yeah.
me what happens to all the equipment we've got in the CLP.
And that's right. And that's going to probably the third line items where you're going to want to talk about the equipment for CLP. So.
Okay. Okay.
So that would be, and then Deb had asked for a replacement printer. We came up with a solution that we think she's going to use, so we may not even need this $300. We found an old printer that we fixed up, and it seems to be working very well for her.
Okay.
But I kept it in there because that just happened last week. So,
okay.
Push the mark by then.
And then moving down to this next section is CLP. The licenses we have to keep because it's a 3-year contract with Microsoft. There's no way we can remove those. And even if case management goes to, they're talking about going to an Office 365 solution, we still are obligated to pay for that licensing. And what that would be is basically Microsoft in the cloud.
Okay. And those 3-year contracts that we have, those 3-year agreements, is it consistent? Is it the same 3 years for everything, or are they staggered?
It's the same 3 years.
They
were extrapolated to be at a starting point and ending point, and every 3 years then they reevaluate it, and we have a contract with the state of Iowa, and all of the counties follow that contract.
Okay. So now my question is, what happens to the extra equipment that we have in CLP?
That has been my question over and over and over when Paul and I meet. I guess we don't really know until we find out if there's going to be a renter. That'll affect my budget when you look down at the equipment. I have budgeted in the 60 computer a year replacement. These will be a year old. So definitely they can be brought back in and used as replacement
That's
computers.
That's what my first question would be, anything that was bought with mental health dollars, are there any ties now to where we use it in this situation? So what I'm concerned about is if we bought something, a computer with mental health dollars that's been at CLP and now CLP is going away, are we empowered as a county now to use that computer anywhere?
That would be my assumption because mental health services are now regional. These were
county dollars.
These were
county
bought
dollars.
With county dollars.
Even though they were mental health dollars, they were county dollars.
Still county.
Because what I think is going to make a lot of sense is – getting an inventory of what we have in CLP, and then as soon as a decision is made for how that building and any equipment over there might be utilized, we know what excess we have, and we can work it back into the rotation so that we're not getting rid of equipment that's a year old in really, really good shape to come back and replace something that's 3 years old and not in as good a shape. Does that make sense to everybody?
That's been my plan. I'm just kind of waiting to hear what's going to happen. We don't know if the new tenant will want those computers.
And you would sell them then? You would not be...
Yes, we would not. We would find a price. We would not lease it to them because there's, you know, we'd probably image each one of them because it has Story County licensing.
You know, I'm figuring that there's a bunch of equipment, with computers would fall into it, that even if a provider takes the space, they're not going to want to have anything to do with it. I think we're going to have equipment and some office furniture and things like that that we're going to have to figure out what we're doing with.
Probably down the road, but initially, if you're trying to reset up an office space and get started, you know, the most convenient thing would be the least things you would have to move in. Because most likely you're talking about a group expanding their level of service, so I see it probably needing to utilize some of that. They may not need to use as much because they're probably not going to have the same staff load or administrative load.
I agree with you. They might need to use some of it, but computers, Wayne, fall into a category for me where the only way it makes sense for us to sell a computer to somebody is if we're getting enough to replace the computer on the back end. If this computer could go and replace an older one, then the only way it makes sense for us to sell it to somebody is if either that computer is one that we want to replace or it's not sufficient to replace one that we were talking about buying anyway. And computers, you know, straight up for somebody starting something like that, you're not talking about a huge expense for those people. They can't use any of our software. They can't use any of our networking. And so now all of a sudden, it becomes less practical. This is a conversation we need to have down the road, but I thought it was important to bring it up today so that we could at least all be thinking about it as we move through this.
Interesting question, because I don't know if we've even thought about the networking aspect of it.
We got all kinds of issues
that
we've got
to deal with.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
We've already moved a lot of the equipment out of the server room there and moved it to HSC. So we're prepared, and the phones are being leased, so we're ready to pull out if need be.
Okay,
good. That brings us down to pay plan staff, and I'd ask you to go all the way down to employer flex benefits and kind of draw a little line, and now let's talk about everything from that line up to pay plan staff.
I apologize. I need to add something.
Sure.
We just discovered this, and talking about moving the equipment from CLP, there used to be a Liebert UPS backup unit there. We just received the maintenance renewal contract, and it was for that unit, and we looked back our budgets for since 2010. It's never been listed on there, even though it's charged. So I would need to add $1,910 to, I would assume, the direct admin services, that first category, to make sure that we have enough to cover the Liebert maintenance for that UPS unit we took out of CLP and moved to HSC.
And what is that unit?
It's a backup for the servers and things, like if we lose power. And there is no generator at HSC, so it's really those are some key fixtures there. It was at CLP, fairly new, and we can't find that we'd have ever had it in our budget. We went back as far as 2010.
But we've been paying the bill.
We've been paying it. So,
so do you put it under the second line item then? Under?
No, it's equipment rent and maintenance.
Equipment, okay.
So that would be under 1,000-44-10-44-52.
And it's $1,900.
Yeah, it's $1,900 even. And we just got that pricing from CST. We asked for it in November, and they said they wouldn't have it till January.
Can you, Lisa, when you have a chance, can you dig out what we've been paying in the past and exactly, just run down exactly how that's working? I assume that's some of when we started shifting the funding, the funding lines around. It's something that got missed, but let's just see what that is.
I'm sorry for the interruption.
That's all right. Anything else up there that we need to talk about?
No, that's good.
All right. So from employer flex benefits up to pay plan staff, couple issues. First of all, as you know, we got notification from the federal government that a new ruling says that we are not going to be able to continue to pay flex as we traditionally have. We are working through the process now of what our options are and exactly how we're going to make a decision. Our expectation is that that employer flex benefit line item will go up, maybe up substantially, that will directly impact IPERS and FICA. And so you need to be aware of that. We're going to work through that, and we will let you know what those numbers look like when we figure it out. As for the pay plan staff, the way Story County has traditionally budgeted is to say you have X number of approved positions, and if they're all continue to be filled, here's what it will cost us for the year. And we're going to just budget that amount right up front and go, and we're changing the way we do that now to trying to budget more toward actual. Mm-hmm. So the example for you, Barb, is we budgeted $349 last year. It looks like you're reestimating that you're only going to spend $270 this year. So what we're going to try to do is budget closer to actual there, so it'd be more like the $270, recognizing that we have committed to you that the approved positions should be filled for as much time as you can. So if we've got to come back at this point next year and amend some dollars into the budget, we will do it. But you're going to see a different looking line item than that 350, and it's going to be based on some work that Lisa's going to do on figuring out what percentages we're going to put in there. Okay?
Is part of that reestimation, just to, not to interrupt, because you had a contract for the network administrator?
Yes, because
so
we had,
you shifted, did you reestimate the contract?
I reestimated this amount down.
I figured that's why
and
that
I think
went down so much.
We reestimated the contract also.
Well, and but we're committed to every approved position being fully funded. We're just going to fully fund them at actual cost, not budgeted cost.
Sure.
Okay. Any questions there?
No.
Vehicle fuels and maintenance. You spent $159 so far this year. We had $1,500 budgeted. You've suggested, or somebody suggested, that we reestimate down to $1,000. If we've only spent $159 for the first 6 months, why are we going to spend $1,000?
Well, we estimated this at the first 4 months, and there is some work that needs to be done in the vehicle. We've been so busy, we want to wait till we have time not to have that available to us.
Okay.
Usually that happens during the summer.
Okay.
So you see you're going to be pretty close to that with
the brakes need some work and the signal light doesn't work. So we think it'll be pretty close.
Okay. Yeah. And then you feel like just with the age of the vehicle, we need the same kind of thing in next year?
Probably, yes. We did put, I think, about $3,000 in last year. We got new tires and things. So it'll last us for a few more years.
Okay.
And that's what Melissa just brought this up. We'll take a good look when everything, the dust settles out from CLP. If there's a van that's available over there.
Oh, yes. I've had my eye on it. I've asked you a couple times.
Yep. Well, yeah, and I got the same philosophy with that equipment that I do with the computer equipment. We're going to take the best. We're going to take the best and purpose it as we need it,
right,
and then we're going to get rid of the rest.
Right.
I would say that your current vehicle fits into that the rest category, which means to me, try not to spend the $1,000 if we know that maybe this summer
Sure. We're
going to be making a change.
I think I probably should make sure the brakes are working correctly.
Yeah,
but
no,
yeah,
you got to do what you got to do.
We won't do anything unnecessary.
Right. But don't be looking at it as that car should last us for a while yet. Look at it as it needs to function for us and it needs to be safe.
Agreed.
Okay. Office supplies, we originally budgeted $700 last year. You're at $876 so far. We're looking at $2,000, but yet it comes back to $800. What's in there this year that was unexpected, and why do we expect it to roll out next year?
We were, for a while there, paying some of the monthly charge for the recorder scanner, and
okay,
that brought us up over. And so I had a talk with Sue and told her, Since IT is paying the premium on the scanner every month, you're going to have to share it. And if somebody needs it, we're going to have to pull it out and give it to them. And at that point, she decided that she wanted to keep it, so she took over payments. But for a while there, we were paying for it.
Okay. So why aren't we going back to – so the $700 did not count those payments. From the $700 that we originally budgeted last year, we were not expecting to pay for the recorder scanner.
Right.
Right.
Since we've paid for the recorder scanner, we're at $876. So do we – is $700 – so I look back and is $700 what you need in there? Is $800 – what office supplies do you need?
I think $700 will do it because we also have another scanner that planning and development was using. And we charged that back, too.
Okay. So $700 in office supplies instead of $800.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Next is the processing supplies.
We had some unexpected expense here. We had done some cabling for Hickory Grove. And it wasn't in the budget. A lot of their cabling, since it had to be above the drop ceiling, needed to be a certain fire rating. And so we purchased new cable for that, which put us a little more than what we had anticipated spending.
Uh-huh.
We and see the need for a little more replacement in the future.
Okay. All right.
Under the next section, data processing software, I would like to add a software package that will cost for 40 users $1,000, and it's called ePanic. And I believe, did you receive documentation on that?
You did, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I
passed it on to me.
Pass it on to you.
Yeah.
If you just want to talk about that a little,
what it is. A year or so ago, you know, there was the issue over at the Justice Center with an attorney being attacked, and so Cal and I were tasked with reviewing the buildings to see what kind of security cameras we could put in to help make it more secure. And that project was in the budget for this year. We decided to move it out to work in conjunction with the addition to the Justice Center as part of that project. In the meantime, people are still without security. What this is, and at that time, we just covered areas of egress in and out of the building. We did not cover, you know, people were asking me, what about my counter? I don't feel secure at my counter. So what this is, it can be in three formats. It can be software on your computer with a little button at the bottom that you click, or it can be a key combination on your keyboard, or a foot pedal, so to speak, that you push in the event of an emergency. And there are different levels. There's the yellow level. Hey, I think something might be happening. Can you come over here and keep an eye on it? Or the red level, send somebody quick. And what this does, once you instigate an alert, it'll go to whoever you programmed it to as a big pop-up on their screen, and or a text message on a phone, if you do it that way. And then they will acknowledge it by clicking on that, so you'll know that your cry for help was received and that somebody's on the way. I thought this might be a good solution, a better solution than programming a button on the phone, mm-hmm. Especially if you want to alert somebody, you know, quietly and without drawing attention to yourself. Usually everybody's fingers on their mouse. If somebody walks into the office, you already have your finger on your mouse, so you can click a button or press a foot pedal. If you have to reach over and push a button on the phone, number one, it'll be seen, and number two, and I've heard that this has happened. A lot of times it gets pushed accidentally. You're putting books on your desk or shuffling things around, and then, you know, they don't know if it's a cry for woof or if it's an actual emergency. So I wanted to try this software to see if it would add some level of security to people so that they feel like maybe they are. I think we're going to be lacking if we wait until
Is $1,000 for 40
users.
I
thought we'd start with 40. There's different levels. I think it's $500 for 20 users, and it goes up. I did bring, I brought some information on it. For 60 users, it's $1,500. And this is just a one-year subscription. If you go 3 years, of course, there's a reduction. I didn't want to commit to 3 years and find out it didn't work with our systems.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's a good idea. I would like to get some input from the people that we would do. So I want to understand where we're going to be using it. So I'm assuming that there would be one at the front of the county attorney's office. There would be one at the front of the sheriff's office, for lack of a better term. There would be, are we going to offer this to the judges in their courtrooms? There'd be some over here in the auditor's office. There'd be some at our front desk. There'd be some at the treasurer's office. I think we can burn through 40 in a hurry.
Right.
But is there a way to get a demonstration? Is there a, you start to say foot pedal, and I'm not sure I recognize exactly what you're talking about, or is this all the cost and now we're having to buy the actual foot pedal to make it work? And so
the hardware is separate because different people, they may decide they don't want to spend for a foot pedal. There is a demo on the web that I viewed, and I talked to the salesperson a little bit. I wanted to get your opinion before I proceeded any further and spend any more time on it. It's my opinion that we should start with a test group.
Yeah.
And see if they feel like this is a solution to, you know, the problem.
How hard is it to add? If we started with 40 for 1,000 and we decided it was a good thing and we wanted to add, it doesn't sound like we're getting any savings. It's $500 per 20, what you told me, if we're going with 1 year.
Yes.
How is it set up, or how can you set? I mean, who's going to get the alert?
That's part of the installation. You configure, and I would assume the managers would decide that. If you clicked an alert, who would we want to be notified? Would it be Master Control? This would also help alleviate that problem a little bit. I know when we talked about extra cameras, John Asmussen said, well, we're going to need more video, a bigger room, more personnel to watch it. If a key person is given this software and they receive the pop-up, doesn't that kind of eliminate a little bit of the need for that?
I look at you for that.
Well,
is there somebody sitting there at Master Control who would see a pop-up? Is that requiring too much? I mean, hopefully this is one of those things we're never going to use.
And that's where the question is going to come, because I've had the conversation with the sheriff that, you know, especially with the cameras. I know when the cameras were going to go in the treasurer's office and they were going to go into Master Control, he was going to need another personnel to watch all these extra cameras.
Right.
I mean, does it make sense to have the alert go to the dispatch center, show up on a computer at the dispatch center?
Yeah.
You know, our responding agency for this building is the Nevada Police Department. But that's where the call is going to go anyway. I mean, if you picked up the phone here today and called 911, it's going to ring in the dispatch center, and then they're going to dispatch the Nevada Police Department or the fire department here. So I think it makes the most sense, and that'll be a conversation that you have to have with the sheriff and Dina, is that, you know, why can't we just have that go into somehow go into on the computer screen at dispatch, or however you configure it.
Right, and we're just starting to figure this out. I didn't want to go much further until I got your opinion on it.
My suggestion would be this. Let's tentatively plug the $1,000 in. But between now and the time Lisa Markley publishes the budget, not that $1,000 one way or another is going to make or break us, but you have a conversation with Dina and the sheriff and just see, because if it's not going to the right place, it's meaningless.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And then if it's going to the right place, let's go ahead and spend the $1,000, get the $40, have a test group. See if everybody, I mean, again, hopefully it's the kind of thing we're never going to test.
Right.
I mean, we're never going to have to utilize.
If it's going to work right, it's got to go to somebody's computer or phone.
That's right there.
It's there
all the time.
Yeah,
all the time. And it's got to be substantial enough that they can't miss it.
Right.
And this is an annual subscription. It's not an ongoing maintenance.
But it's a one-year.
Yes.
It's a one-year deal is all we'd be entering into. So if we get through, if Dean and the sheriff say, yeah, we can try that, and we get through a year and we find out we don't like it, there's no penalty, no nothing for saying, no, we don't want to continue it.
We're not committed beyond the 1 year.
And so where are you plugging that in under data?
Software.
Yep.
Okay. So where it's blank right now?
It's blank. We're putting 1,000 in there.
Okay.
Okay, fiber optics.
You can't really too much about that. That's those are charges that we're obligated to pay. I did have a question about the 20-year contract with Windstream Paytech, but that's through 911, and Connie Hamley manages that. That's what they were back then. There's no such thing as a 20-year contract anymore.
Huh.
So there's really not a lot of wiggle room we have on those.
Why are we at 81% so far this year?
There were some charges, and Connie had brought this up too, some charges that they said weren't applied last year, and they applied them to us.
So, huh.
So that was paid out of this year's, even though it probably should have been paid last year, but we just weren't billed for it.
I mean, so I see where there could be $600 of charges carrying over. But that doesn't make up the whole 31% that we're over right now. I just want to make sure. Okay, so if you're telling me that this is a $6,150 bill a year, then I get it. We only spent $5,496 last year.
Right.
And I can get that that amount that we didn't spend last year should carry over to this year, but that still doesn't make up that total if we're halfway through the year. Can you guys just look into it and see where we are there? All right, postage and mailing, I'm good. Unless you guys want to talk about it. Employee mileage and expense, I'm good unless you guys want to talk about it. Communication services.
No.
I thought we were getting rid of your communication services.
We have gotten rid of some of them. I'll just point out the third one down, the CenturyLink, and then the fifth one and the sixth one, those will go away when CLP goes away.
All right, wait a minute. Tell me again.
The CenturyLink, the third one down for $1,320,
okay.
And then the $1,380 and the $660 will go away when CLP does.
Okay.
So do we need to put them in the budget?
Well, the contract goes a little longer than that. So depending on what we can work out with CenturyLink, we're currently working with one of their reps in trying to combine some of these services to see if we can get rid of them a little earlier. It's been difficult getting them together with the holidays, but she's working on it for us. So I see that there is going to be a cost savings possibly before then, but I don't want to count my chickens before they're hatched.
Okay, well, we need to be clear on when those plans end and make sure that we don't pay for anything that we don't need and aren't utilizing for one day more than we need to pay for it.
We definitely won't. And sometimes with these contracts, I know with the Windstream, you have to give them a 90-day notice when you want to cancel them.
Well, then let's make sure they're getting that notice April 1st.
We are.
All right.
Okay.
And then on the next page, the Windstream Internet 20-meg circuit. This is just an example of how fast technology is improving here in Nevada. At the time we got this, that was the only option available to us to increase our bandwidth. And since then, Central Iowa Broadband has brought in fiber. So unfortunately, that contract doesn't end until October of 2016. So we're still stuck on paying that for a few more months.
Just the 18240?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Any questions? And then the next section is multi-agency. We can't do anything with that, although if you notice, there's a little cost savings over last year with the three. This is the City of Ames, ISU, and Story County. We do contribute a certain amount every year toward hardware replacement, and we're at the point where the new hardware would cost X amount of dollars. We do have that much money set aside. However, they decided to continue to add a little bit to that pot, although not as much, because we have some other initiatives we'd like to address. And those are figures that Stan Davis with the city puts together for us for the agency. And that includes, like, the NCIC licensing the software that's used by that program. The server, the switches.
Okay. All right, education and training.
I'd like to start doing a little more training with other users. I know I met with the auditors group, and they were asking when are we going to get some more. I think Stacy wanted more information on how to use Microsoft Calendar. And so I plugged in some money and also for Civic Plus training. Many people are asking IT to do things for them, even though each department was trained when the website was implemented. Interestingly enough, no one in IT was trained. So I'd like to bring do some either Civic Plus training. I think I'm going to send out a survey asking people what exactly they think they need. But I do think we could do more training. If that's something that you feel we should remove from this budget, then we can do that.
Yeah, I'm just debating. I'm not against more training. I'm not against more training in lots of areas, not just IT. I'm just wondering if we need to think about not having something like this in the IT budget and figuring out if we need to have some kind of employee training budget somewhere that's administered, probably more by the Board of Supervisors, and figure it out.
That's a good suggestion.
I think I would just soon take this out until I know more, because I hate to put 10,000. Hey, maybe we need a refresher on Civic Plus, or maybe we need some more office training or whatever. We got lots of areas of training that need to be addressed, and we need to have the conversation and prioritize. And so I would suggest taking that 10 out, but us taking the recommendation that we need to be looking at more training, and in this case specifically more technology type training than we're currently doing.
Okay.
Does that work for you, Wayne?
Makes sense. The problem is the logistics and the timing and getting people, you know, together to where it's meaningful. You know, it's just like we had the demonstration of Civic Plus or whatever, you know.
Well, not to spoil your Tuesday morning or give you too much of a preview, but one of the key elements of this reorganization that I presented to you guys Monday morning, and we're going to talk about more fully on Tuesday, does have a training component very solidly built into that reorganization, and it may be something that we need to talk about along those lines.
Yeah. No, I'm all for training and learning more. It's just, again, the logistics and trying to get those staff people who need it available.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just think it would probably be better administered from one place out of one set of dollars.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, well, these are general dollars we're talking about, right?
Right.
So at the end of the day,
I don't have a problem whether it's under us or through there. The question always comes is who's going to provide the oversight for the type of training? If there's expertise involved in IT technical kinds of things, do we have people outside of IT capable of providing that, or are we having someone else come in to provide that under just sort of like we would do a safety day training or workshop, and we bring in a few people, but we have all staff go, but not everybody gets to go through that actual training.
Right.
So when we had the emergency management thing down there with Keith and all of us who were going through, that's the type of training that's needed. The problem is we need more of it rather than just the hit or miss, because
we need it administered.
Right. So who administered?
Here we go. Here comes this word again. We need it administered consistently.
Right. There you go.
What I see what you have in here, Barb, like Microsoft Office training, you're getting somebody trained so that they can train other individuals, is that?
Train the trainer is pretty good.
Is that what you're looking at, or
and
is that
this
just?
Is, like, for example, you're talking about Kyle.
Yeah.
2010 will cease to be supported, so we're going to have to migrate to 2013. None of us have used it. So we need to have our technicians trained so that when we implement it, they can help support it. Okay. This is more of a support class.
But if we wanted to do a countywide training, we'd have to bring somebody else in other than IT.
And a lot of the trend has been toward webinars and WebExes. I don't feel you get a lot of back and forth with those. People are afraid to ask questions, but.
Yeah, see, for me, I would need to have my iPad or something there where I'm watching the instruction, but then I'm on the computer, and then I'm able to follow it. Or you need to be in a room where it's showing up. Now, you go click this, and that to follow it to make it more meaningful type of thing. But that's just me. I mean, because that's the only
well,
that's the
and way. Wayne, I view this, if we go to, if Microsoft is changing,
yeah.
Then it's more cost-effective to have an actual training here at the county,
exactly.
Regardless of who we bring in to do
exactly.
the training
exactly.
for our employees,
right.
instead of sending them
to a
Microsoft
conference.
Training. I mean,
right.
it's, what, $250 for a day course on Excel? I mean, I don't know. I haven't looked at that forever or more.
On the low side, yes.
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so I think if we had an actual training program, you know, and they roll out a new Microsoft Office 2013, then you can provide a few, it's, you know, and then the employees can come and go to that training.
Right, but that would be for using 2013.
Right.
I'm
not
hearing
supporting.
What Barb's saying as this would be more support.
Supporting.
Is that
troubleshooting.
A different kind of?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's a different level.
All right. So I'm suggesting we pull the 10,000 out.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let me go back and see where I just saw it. That's.
All right, so I see a note in the next section of we're paying for something that we don't know who's using it. I'm looking at Microsoft Project SA Renewal 2 at $92 each, but when I look to the left, it says who is using this, who is using Project.
I'm sorry, that was my note.
Yep.
We've only found someone that was using one instance of it. We haven't found the other person. At $92 each. I don't see it on my, I have my Microsoft licensing here. I don't even see that we're actually paying both of
where
those.
Where you at, Rick? What page?
I'm on page 144.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so my concern here, Barb, is, and this is before you came in as director when I made this note, but there was a point, Paul, that you and I were down in the IT office where there was a stack of equipment sitting on a shelf,
right.
and the question was asked, well, what's that equipment, and are we paying for support for that equipment? And the answer was, well, yeah, we are. My concern when I see, especially your note to yourself here, is how much do we have in here that we don't know where it's being used, who's using it, why it's being used, but we just kind of keep continuing to pay the $200 here and $200 there to get this done.
We do a reconciliation every 3 years, and I found my note on that, and planning and zoning is using two licenses for that. So this was updated after that was. I thought I took that out.
No, I appreciate being there because it let me ask the question I needed to ask. So you feel confident that everything listed on here from our last reconciliation is, in fact, being utilized
yes.
by the county?
Yes. We go through it every year. Fine-tooth comb, trying to find some money we can save.
Okay.
Okay, on the same page or on the same talk here, help me understand the very top line item, the IB Passport Advantage Content Manager VI Client on Demand.
Right.
And Tyler Content Manager Annual down there for $19,000. Help me understand why we would have both. Am I missing something?
The first line is the IBM charges to have it on there, and then the second place solutions charges to use it. There's two pieces, and together the software runs. You can't run it on the IBM software, on the IBM hardware without this manager. So
that's not the same VI client as
no.
it's going away, that goes away. Okay.
It is, but there's the software and then the piece you need on the server to recognize the software. So that's what the first line is the piece to recognize the software, and the second piece is the actual software and the support that Solutions provides for that.
Okay.
That's why I love that you're here, Markley. One of the many reasons. Okay, anything else?
No.
I did want to point out, I don't know if this will make a lot of difference with the total line item, but remember I was talking about the UPS maintenance. We do have a Liebert here in the admin building, and that went up from 1850 to 1915. It says Liebert UPS maintenance admin building dash CST new pricing January 2015.
Well, I don't.
So it's gone up about 60. Yeah.
I don't see that we changed it by 60.
Well, we just got it this week, so.
Yeah, I'd say.
Oh, I see.
You got 240,698 in there. Let's leave it at 240,698, even with the new pricing there.
All right.
Okay, contract labor.
Oh, one
no,
comment.
No,
yep.
You're here.
Sorry.
I'm going to suggest, and this doesn't, well, it does. It'll change the line item. In my review with the county attorney, with
state auditor.
No, county attorney. We talked about some election costs that could be moved to the supplemental fund. One of them is that very last one, that iVoters maintenance, voter registration. All voter registration can be paid for out of the supplemental fund. If that's the case, we can move that $9,500 to a supplemental fund expense also. You're just going to have another line item you have to deal with.
Right. It doesn't change her bottom line. It pulls that out into a new line.
That's the very last one, the 95?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the question, Wayne and Paul, so that you know, I asked the question as we're looking at the, well, specifically the insurance benefits and the fact that we are, we do have some capacity in our supplemental. I asked the question of, are we paying everything that we can by law pay out of the supplemental? And Lisa and Jessica did a great job reviewing that, and you guys have come back with really multiple things that could go to the supplemental, and then it's going to be a question of the whole levy rate conversation, and not so much how much we're paying, but what fund we're paying it out of.
Right.
Doesn't impact you one way or another, Barb.
All right. So what do you want to do with that right now?
I'm just going to leave it right where it's at, but that's one of the items
could
that
roll
I'm going
to its own
forward
line
and
item.
Say, you know what, these items can be paid for out of supplemental.
Now, okay. May go to supplemental.
I don't see a lot of change with the rest of it. I did this year break down the PROLA charges a little better so that we could understand it.
About 28 users.
It seems like there's always a question, how many is IT paying for? How many is the county attorney paying for? Because we do get two free licenses as part of the package, but we are paying for 28 because there are 30 users.
Why do we have IT paying for this?
That was part of the debate.
It was
it's associated with computers.
Yeah. We tried to have a centralized way of tracking
our
technology
costs.
Purchases more or less, rather than individuals going out on their own deciding that.
Yeah, I know. I don't want people to go out on their own, and maybe that's the way you control it, is you run it through through IT. I'm just curious. So we made the move this year where now instead of IT paying for phones, we've got each area paying for their own phone. I'm just wondering if ultimately it's a more truly representative budget if you have the area that is actually utilizing the software paying for it rather than IT, and IT becoming a service kind of entity. And I'm not making a suggestion for this year. I'm just throwing it out there so that we can talk about it as we go.
Well, I think it'd be an excellent concept of a change a year later from now. You know, we've made the phone system shift, giving folks a little heads up that this may be another, you know, excellent way for us to be able to identify where the actual use is coming from.
Well, and when it's for a specific place
correct.
Like this. I mean, I'm not...
It's different to me if you're talking about our Microsoft Office
right.
contracts.
Right.
That's something.
Right.
But when it's a very specific software application used by planning and development,
right.
let's pay for it. And I'm not trying to shortchange anybody.
No, because in general, it's still coming out of the same pocket.
Absolutely.
It's just a matter of tracking.
Well, here's another way to look at it. Email. Everybody, every user has an email box, and there's a $4 per user, per mailbox charge for this anti-spam filter that we pay for. The Barracuda used to be called Postini. They've changed that. So what about the departments that say, hey, I need 5 extra email boxes because I want to be able to track this and this and this? That's not a standard installation.
Why do they need 5 extra email boxes without having to pay for the difference?
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is probably another example where that would apply. It's not a standard installation, and the county, because it's in the IT budget, we're all sharing in that cost of the extra mailboxes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something we should push down as well.
Well, there's 3 ways to go, right? There's the way we're currently in, where if I need something IT-related or maybe facility-related or related or something like that, I pick up the phone, I call, and if I can convince Barb or Cal that it should fit in their budget, they do it. It has no budget implications to my department or my office at all. That's one way. That's the way we're doing it now. Second way is to continue to do it that way, but have a charge back to each office, each department for IT services and how many email addresses you have and all of that. That's the way the City of Ames does it, right?
Mm-hmm.
City of Ames charges each one of their departments IT-related costs.
Right.
The third option is just plug it in to the department and office budget. If you use it, we're showing it under your office. You get to sit here in front of us and tell us why those 5 extra email addresses are necessary rather than Barb coming in and making the case for you in this case. Those are the 3 options that I see. Now, Wayne, I think you're right. I think the way we're doing it, we need to talk about it a little more before we make some kind of big change. But I would sure like it if we could talk about it over the next 6 or 8 months and make a decision if we want to start making that change in our budget starting with FY17.
I honestly think that's a reasonable way that we ought to be operating. I mean, I always thought the other way around, to me, when I got it wrong. That's another story.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know for me, since I'm the liaison to facilities, I'll get a call from Cal every once in a while, and he says, hey, this department or this office wants me to go do this.
Right.
I have the money in my budget, but I'm not sure we need to do it.
Right.
And I always find myself thinking,
why am I starting
with Cal on this? I should be starting with that department head or that elected official.
Right. Exactly.
I like that these charges go through IT so that we can evaluate the need and maybe ask questions. And maybe in some cases we do find an alternative that doesn't cost money that they can use and do the same thing.
Well, that was the original intent.
Yeah.
But it seems
why Ames does it the way they do it.
Sometimes they get circumvented a little bit by
coming
directly and saying we want this or we want that.
Yes. And then they say, well, we can't do our job without it. Right. Well, I can't question that. So.
Well, so as I understand what the City of Ames does is they make sure that IT is paid for by who utilizes IT.
And
to what level you utilize it.
I don't have a problem with that.
And that's another way to go. Okay, we can have that conversation as we go.
Yeah. Okay.
Now we're to contract labor.
This is my project category. The first one, and I haven't approached the board about this yet, although I've talked to Paul a little bit about it. This is, and I alluded to it earlier when I said that IT could start earning income. This is a project that I've been working with Story Medical on where, as you know, they built the new facility, and their initial plan was to abandon the North Campus, as they call it. Well, they've expanded so much that they are utilizing the North Campus, but their bandwidth has suffered, and they don't have enough bandwidth. They could approach the ICN to provide fiber for them. However, and I spoke with Matt Reese, he thought that the county could benefit from having redundant fiber link there as well. And if the ICN funds this and provides this for them, Story County cannot participate in the project. So we pushed some numbers around, and we got a couple quotes. And if we provide the fiber between here and there's a handhole just north of the hospital on, I don't even know what that little road is, but between the Justice Center, that would also be beneficial to us because our fiber, and I don't have the diagram, and I'll go into this in more detail when I approach the board, but we've had three fiber cuts on our run that goes past the middle school already because of the gas line there. So if we did the fiber link, and this would be part one of our project, and then leased it back to Story Medical, within 3 years we could recoup our cost. It's looking like it'd be about $25,000. So, and then whatever extras we have. So this was a project that I wanted to do next year. And like I said, I haven't approached you officially about it yet. But to me, I think it makes sense. It provides a redundant route for us as well as provides a service for Story Medical. And then it would be part one of a two-part project where then we'd have to find a way to get past that railroad track so that we could put the other loop of it over to the Justice Center.
Yeah, we just do it without the railroad notice knowing about it at night.
And unfortunately, you have to go through at certain points because that's where the handholds are on Highway 30, where you can connect your fiber. So this is what I had talked about, thought maybe it was a good project that we could, and, you know, we could put extra fiber in there, too. Who knows what the future utilization might be of that. It seems like even the short time I've been here, we're just growing so fast that the need for bandwidth and need for fiber has been growing and growing.
Well, it's, again, a great partnership potential for
exactly.
us. And I think the proximity makes it advantageous to us if we can able to have that redundancy there. And, you know, it's interesting because beforehand, there were a few years back, we didn't have that level of cooperation or willingness on the other part to even want to look at partnering or doing anything with us at the county because everybody was so territorial.
Right.
About who controls this and who was going to pay for what and mm-hmm. all of these types of things. So I think it's worthy of us to explore it at least and then, you know, see where it goes.
So is that entire $70,000 in these multi-step projects that you're talking about? I'm trying to understand.
Yeah.
So you got the redundant fiber route to the Justice Center. Then you got services for that route, but then you're moving the radio traffic, and then we're talking about the DOT fiber. So
this DOT fiber, I put that in there because 3 years ago when the DOT, when the ICN back to DOT fiber went through on 30 and they offered Story County four strands, they said, you know, it cost $15,000. At the time, I didn't have that in my budget. They haven't asked for payment, but we have leased back fiber to the ICN, and I believe that contract was $18,000, and I haven't asked for payment on that. So I thought, well, if I, you know, ask for payment, then they're going to want their payment. So I thought I better put this in so we could cover it. They haven't asked for it yet.
Yeah, but we come out $3,000 ahead on that.
Yes.
Deal.
I'd go ahead and ask for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Say, I'm just waiting to see my $18,000, and then I'm going to send you this $15,000.
Or right. You can just hold that $15,000 out and send me a check for $3,000.
Just send me a check for $3,000. That's right.
Well, it's different. It's different parts of the ICN. They are so segmented, and there's so many branches to that. But also going back to the fiber to Story Medical, I see maybe some more opportunity to lease back to ICN. So. I think
all right,
it's a
so
win-win.
My question is, so this is a project you'd like to do,
yes.
Except for the 15. The 15 is something that we already owe, but they owe us more than we owe them,
sure.
So it's a payables issue. But the 55 that you have in there are different components of this project that you're talking about, not the full project because you still said we've got another loop that we would need to do in there.
Right. Actually, these are two projects. The second line, the network support services for this 911, this is part of the MAPS-G project that I'm working with the other IT staff from the City of Ames and ISU with. We want to provide a loop so that if our 911 system goes down, say we're going this way, we can back our traffic around and go that way. If there's a cut anywhere along there, this would cover an extra switch and some configuration by.
So it's not new fiber optic.
No.
It's a new
no.
switch and a new configuration.
Yes.
Okay. But new that's splicing. Separate. So the 30,000 yes. is the new strand that you're talking about.
Yes.
And what's the other 15 configuration to move radio traffic to the redundant fiber loop?
Once that's once the redundant loop is there, then we would have to move. My thought process would be to move it from the current microwave connection to that route once it's stable. It can be moved to there, or it can be moved to the Central Iowa Broadband. We've got two different options, but it still comes at a cost.
Okay, but that's tied to the 30.
No. These are three separate projects.
Okay, so what's it tied to?
It's tied to the Central Iowa Broadband that was already installed that we're paying. It's that 100 meg loop that comes down past the high school that.
Okay.
The so, summer that we participated in.
So the bottom 15 is money that we owe, but they owe us 18.
Yes.
The next 15 is fiber that's already in that we've got to do the configuration and get it stabilized so that we can move off the microwave and put that traffic on cable that exists.
Yes.
The 10,000 is your project in conjunction with Ames to make sure that we can put a new switch in and new routing if we ever have a problem so that we don't lose communication if there's a cut.
Yes.
And the 30,000 is one we need to talk about whether or not that's something Story County wants to get in, and it's the first step of what you see as a two- or three-step
yes,
process.
Exactly.
Am I getting all of it?
Yes,
got
very
it.
Good.
Okay.
Thank
got
you.
It.
Give him a star.
Got it.
All right, so I'm good with the 40, the two 15s and the 10, and I think we need to talk a little more about the 30.
Definitely.
I want to understand that project more before we plug money into the budget to get that done.
Well, could you just put it as a placeholder now, and then we'd have that conversation prior to...
When do you publish?
Need to prior to...
February.
Oh, it's February something.
I publish on the 26th.
Okay, so can you get on a Tuesday morning
20th.
Agenda?
20th, it has to be ready to
and
go.
Prior to that... And just take us through what this project would look
we
like.
We have to have anybody from we have to have Matt or anybody from the other side involved in that
no.
at all.
The dark side.
No,
because he owes me a meal.
you want him back around?
No.
You got to watch those grease kids.
He owes me a meal.
I have the quotes and I have the map, so I've got everything. Together.
No, I just
get on our Tuesday morning agenda and let's. So Lisa, you can put the 30 in for now, but we need to have the conversation between now and the time you publish. On where we're headed on that.
We'll revisit.
I want to talk about the current year.
Okay, let's talk about the current year.
Where are you?
If we may, please.
Please, let's do.
You've reestimated that to 164. If I look at what we have in there, the security cameras are the big purchase yet, right?
Right.
And that is going to happen?
No.
Okay, so then we don't need 164 in there.
No. I think we talked about taking that 135 off.
Okay.
And it just never happened. Never
right.
happened.
Where you at, Lisa?
But if I take the whole 135 off, then I'm you've already spent 50,000. Oh, that was some of your salary, wasn't it?
Okay. That's just something that's in the wrong line item.
So, do you think? Have you done the internet configuration that you budgeted for this year? Internet configuration. Okay, so. You spent 48, you're going to spend another 20. So you're going to spend 68 this year in that line item. Give or take a couple.
Yeah, so put
bucks.
It in at 70. Let's take it from 164 to 70, which actually lines up pretty well with the 70 that we're talking about plugging in for next year with the 30 that we don't know about yet. Does that work for you, Lisa?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. Does it work for you, Barb?
Yes.
All right. Data processing equipment.
Well, and as I mentioned before, conservation has asked for a laptop for the Skunk River. This would be running GIS. We think 2000 will get them a pretty beefy laptop. It does not have to be one of those $3,000 models that the sheriff uses. And then the...
How many laptops is COP going to be giving up?
Well, we didn't have an exact number on that for a while. They seemed to... There was a closet there that had laptops in it when Kim was there, and then when she left, all of a sudden laptops started appearing. So we have done an inventory, and these are older ones that nobody used, and Kim had moderated it. You know, she kept control of that inventory, but when she left, nobody knew what the laptops were for, so... They started handing them out. I think we've gotten a handle on how many there were, and there's really five that are usable. Some of them were old XP models, and so people would open them up and have problems and call us, and we're like, well, where did this laptop come from? So not a lot of laptops coming out of there, but desktops, you know, this will affect what we replace next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so we don't need 60 desktops.
Possibly not.
Yeah.
And that's based on our five-year rotation for 350 desktops.
Well, and we need – it's a five-year – it's going to be a rotation now on 260 desktops. So we need to get back – we need to dig in and figure out what that 45 needs to look like. It doesn't need to look like 45 for the 60 PCs.
Yeah.
I want to, I mean, see, we had Mike here this morning. I want to understand what this laptop, did we talk about the laptop this morning?
No.
No, we talked about.
Exactly, but she's not who I want to talk to about this laptop.
Is it not assigned to a specific person?
Yes, well.
Yeah, it will be.
I mean, is it replacing a desktop?
No, it's an addition to the services.
How have we handled those? Just curious, how have we handled those in the past? If they're not, has it always
been? They get one or the other.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes,
so
it's always come out of IT.
If this is for not a associated truck. To one person, would it be?
This is for a truck?
This is for a mobile unit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I believe Mike, we gave him the software licensing costs, and he put that in his budget.
So. All right, well, let's leave the two in. Let's figure out the 45, because I don't buy that the 45 is really the 45. Monitors. I mean, these are, you're talking about spare monitors there, right? Hey, talk to me for just a second, now that I've said monitors. Why in the world?
I got it straightened out. Don't even worry about it. Don't even go there. Go ahead.
Don't need to worry about it.
Go there. I want to hear the answer.
I want to hear why Board of Health's two monitors no longer work as two monitors. We got to buy all new monitors for. Talk me through that one. And I assume it doesn't. It's not just Board of Health. Board of Health is just the one who's lucky enough to bring it up.
Charles Board of Health.
We had that same issue in the auditors, and so Lucy purchased two new monitors for each. When the desktops were replaced, the new ones don't recognize the drivers on the old monitors or the dual monitor driver.
Right.
They'll recognize one old monitor, but not two. So to get around that on a new computer, if you don't want to buy two new monitors, you have one old one and one new one, and a lot of times they don't match. You know, the size is different. Monitor styles change monthly. It's very difficult to buy the same model again once you replace a monitor. So that's the trouble that they were having. So Margaret had enough money in her budget for three new monitors, but not six. So we replaced. She has two new on hers, but the other two do not. They have different sizes. So that's the trouble we ran into with the new computers.
This is my desk chairs for this year. I just want to point that out. Monitors.
It's similar to you no longer have a floppy drive on your computer. It's not used that much because of the old monitors, the connection they have on the back. Computers aren't offering as many anymore.
I get it.
Don't feel bad. I get it. Don't feel bad. I came home one afternoon and my wife had this thing and I said, what's that? She said, well, that's that new 21-inch or something monitor that I've got. I said, oh, you need that, huh?
Oh, you got two monitors on your desk. Did you have to go through this? Did you have a problem when you got?
Mine? No, I did. I don't think I did because it seems like that I didn't get a new computer. All I got was an additional monitor.
You didn't get a new computer. Okay. All right, so when we get you a new computer, we're going to have to get you a new monitor.
Then I guess that's probably going to be an issue. That's dumb.
Shouldn't a monitor just work?
Dumb. I know. I just don't get it.
You would think so. It should
they have different. The new ones have different connectors.
Yeah, isn't that,
can't amazing. We change the connectors?
No.
That's amazing, isn't it?
No, they're hardwired into the monitor.
I will say,
that's what I'm saying. These things, boy, they built in a monopoly.
It's killing me.
End off, put a new end on it.
And so I get to look. It's killing me, and I see that the Board of Supervisors has six new monitors budgeted in. Thanks.
Bigger ones.
Thanks, Alyssa.
Bigger ones.
Who all's getting it? Do I get one?
You said you didn't want one.
Okay, I didn't.
You didn't want
one? Of course, I'm cheap.
What happened here? Because obviously, are these going to...
Huh? We didn't know what was happening with CLP's stuff, so we put
My question is, if they're going to get six new monitors, they aren't going to be compatible with what they have now.
Yeah, they will.
We're not doing the dual. It's just replacement.
Oh, just replacement. Yeah. Right. Never mind.
Right.
I don't think we.
I love my duals, but
I'm embarrassed to say, but dual confuses me. I don't know where anything. I've tried dual before.
From one to the other.
Oh my God, it confuses me. I want it all right there.
There is a benefit if you have a bunch of different applications.
Yeah, and some others, but I would
know. Double.
To go dual, you can't go back either.
Yeah,
so that's the
really?
Problem.
Yes.
And then the new workstation. For the new employee.
That's if we approve that on Tuesday.
That's for the generalist.
If we approve that, we would need. But see, my question on the new workstation is: I believe that workstations are coming out of CLP.
Yeah,
I don't think we need to purchase.
They have to.
They have to.
Well, I would imagine even there's some over there they're currently not using.
Oh, how many employees are they down now that are sitting empty?
Let's take the 550 for the workstation for Board of Supervisors out. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I know. I'm not.
You can have mine.
Where is that at? Under department, recorder, treasurer, labor. I don't see it.
That is under data processing equipment. I just took out $550.
Data processing equipment.
For any other departments? Was there another department that had an additional? Did you have one in there for the attorneys?
No. It wasn't requested.
Just minus.
And that's a... So... That's another one that if we approve that position, we're going to pull one. But we got space issues there we got to talk about.
Right.
Where? Oh, I see. It's under the board.
If we add a new civil attorney.
Yeah.
Okay. So take
Surface Pro tablet. Leanne's getting a Surface Pro tablet. I'm sure she's talked to me about it. What? Tell me about that.
She said it was approved by you.
Approved by me. I'm sure she talked to me about it.
What does that do?
That's going to, as I recall, it does everything. But it's going to allow, so we're going to talk through that whole video in the board meetings and doing some of the off-site communication stuff. She's trying to do a better job of keeping staff and the public informed of what's going on, and so that's going to just help with that.
It allows her to take her documents with her without having to run back upstairs and print something.
She's between our office and her office all the time now. So that's what that is. All right.
Right. Under the information technology, I put in for a 10-gig NetApp expansion unit. It's $15,000, which you may consider high. It's very low for NetApp expansion. What we plan to do with this is put our video storage on there, and that includes training videos, safety videos, things like that. The reason this is less expensive than the normal NetApp is that it's a little slower. It doesn't have as fast drives, which you don't need for video because basically it's storage.
So this is new memory that we own. It'll be on site. We're not talking about getting something off site.
Right.
And the advantage there, how much does it cost us to go get 10 gigs somewhere off site? To store are non-vital. I mean, I assume if it's a safety video, we don't care who sees it.
Well, the issue is we need to be able to interact with it on the network, so that's why it has to be a NetApp to work with that. A lot of people have trouble, especially with the speed, if they're just getting something off of a storage disk.
Okay.
And then I also put in for a switch at McFarland. What they're using now is... just an old switch that we found that we thought would buy us some time, and they're complaining it's very loud. So We don't have an idea of how old it is because we just found it on the shelf and, hey, it works, so we plugged it in.
How loud can it be? It's like hum.
The hum or buzz.
Well, and it doesn't have the PoE capability, so power over Ethernet. So the new one will, which will help with the phones.
Okay.
Can you see all this going right over my head, Lisa? As you
how much is 10 gig in terms of video storage? Is that plenty of video storage? Or
it depends on the resolution.
Yeah.
If you want something sharp and crisp, you need a lot more space. Something fuzzy, black and white, the colors make a difference too. Are you looking at the next the storage vault for the videos for the sheriff?
I am now.
Well, this, referring to what you'd mentioned earlier, this would be off network storage where they just store their body cam videos, only access it if you need it, security videos, things like that. And that's why that's a lot less expensive.
So here's what I'm wondering. So if we one of the proposals that's coming before us is this idea of getting an intern or two from Iowa State, which is going to cost us next to nothing, but their responsibility would be to video and publish the county meetings, primarily our Tuesday morning meetings, but more meetings than just that. They'd get ISU credit for it. We'd give them a little stipend. We'd have the equipment for them. But we need to be able to put those videos up where they can actually be seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced that us putting those up here locally where it's on our network is the best thing to do. I think that's more of an off-site storage thing. Anybody who's accessing is going out on the web. Now, I recognize that we might have some videos that we need to access just here, really just here locally, and then all of a sudden your explanation for why having this NetApp 10 gig expansion would make sense to only put those videos on there that we're really using in-house. They're intended
right.
to be in-house
right.
videos. The storage vault for the sheriff videos, yeah, I mean, are we going to body cams? Are we on body cams for every sheriff, or is that something we get to talk about later?
Well, I think it's in his budget.
I think it's in his budget. Okay. I think we started last year, didn't we, too? And I think
it makes sense. With everything that's happened, it makes a lot of sense. It's something we got to do, and we need to be able to store those videos somewhere. How much space is it? Is this something that, I mean, I assume this is a $5,000 a year charge, but is it, do
no.
we get to?
No.
It's a piece of hardware. So
this is a piece of hardware. So
yes. We would download.
And how much does it hold?
That depends on, you know, the resolution. And I assume with the body cams, I haven't looked at what they're looking at, but you can set the resolution. How clear does it want to be? I know John had made the comment when we were looking at cameras that he wants to see the color of their eyes. So you've all seen on the news the cams they have from gas stations and things when there's a burglary. Those are very grainy and fuzzy.
Sure.
They don't take up a lot of space. But if you're wanting the detail where you can see the color of their eyes, it's going to take up a lot more. I would think this would last us a good couple years, depending on how many they want to store and how many are using
it. If we've got every officer recording every interaction that they do, that's a lot of recording.
It is.
And how long do they keep those? I mean,
that's up to them.
Now, are they going to have it?
I think that's something they're going to have to talk about.
5 years later,
yeah. Formulate a policy. How long are you going to keep the videos?
Yeah, that would, I would assume, go along with their right. use.
Because
yeah.
most cases and so forth, there's a statute of limitations and so forth that's involved.
All right. Two more monitors for the sheriff.
Yes.
And then replace the printer and dispatch. I wonder how many printers we have over in the Justice Center.
How many offices are there? The sheriff's office, everybody has one.
Everybody has one.
They do a lot of printing, yes.
They have their own printers.
Dispatch does a lot of printing. We have swapped out another printer from somebody else that had more than what they needed. So technically this would replace that other person's printer.
Don't you just need one?
I mean, how many printers really? Do we have at CLP right now?
That's what I was just going to say. You know, those are all owned.
We own all the printers at CLP. We
printers.
Don't need a printer for the sheriff. We'll find a printer out of one of the ones that's coming out of CLP.
I don't know what's over there. I just know
that
we own
Is that okay with you guys
them.
If we pull that 300 back,
yes.
back out?
The ones at CLP haven't been purchased in a while. They're getting some age on them.
Yeah, that's what I'm concerned about.
We have it in our inventory. You know, we can evaluate that and see if there is something that we can use to substitute.
Well, worst case scenario, if we don't find a suitable printer, we can go.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anything else we need to talk about?
Put it in my office.
I think we've talked about everything.
Okay. Wayne, Paul, anything else you want to talk about? Alyssa, Lisa, anything else?
No, just very good.
All right, Barb, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a good session.
Yeah.
Not from what the stories I've heard about earlier ones.
What stories are you hearing?
I was prepared to put on my suit of armor coming in here.
Really? Are we being mean?
You hear a lot in the lunchroom when you're sitting on the other side of the wall.
Well, now you can.
That's all I'm saying.
Those. You can rebut all those.
Boy, we are really, really tough. I don't know how people.
And I'm the last one today, right?
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, we do the engineer at 9 a.m.
Yep.
Until then, we're adjourned.
All right, now, where do I...